Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone. This is Bonnie Kay, and welcome to the Straight Wives Talk Show. This is a hard-hitting show that discusses the complexities of marriages between straight women to gay men. Each week, my guests and I discuss issues that affect over 4 million women in this country and millions more around the world who find themselves unknowingly married to a gay or bisexual man. If you have any comments you would like to make during this broadcast, you can either call them in at area code 646-716-4893, or if you're feeling a little radio shy, you can email me at bonkay@aol.com. That's bonkaye@aol.com. Before I introduce my very special guest this evening, I just wanted to make the brief announcement that we're getting together for our healing weekend, the first weekend in October. The hotel has been set up. The event is going to be here in Philadelphia. It's an event that will change your lives undoubtedly forever. And a number of people have been here before. They're coming again because they need that reinforcement. So if you'd like to join me, please write to me at bonkay@aol.com, and I'll put you on the mailing list for the details. Tonight I have a very special guest, Melanie Tanya Evans, who is calling from a long way from here, thousands of miles from Australia. And she's an amazing woman that many of you have been following and who have told me all about her and how much she's changed your life. And Melanie, thank you so much for being a guest on the show tonight.
Bonnie, it's my absolute pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Thank you, Melanie. You know, it's funny that most of the people who are through the support network have husbands who were gay or identified as bisexual, asexual, confused sexual, anything but heterosexual, and we open our arms up to everybody who has some kind of, you know, differences with sexuality, who are married to somebody with different, you know, sexuality. But it's really interesting to note, and this is not representative of gay people, just seems to be of gay husbands, that within so many of our marriages, and we have thousands of women who are part of this particular support network, that so many of us find ourselves married to men who are narcissists. And I don't think there's any coincidence in that, because of the fact that some of the women that narcissists would look for are the same kinds of women that gay men look for to marry, who are living a life of dishonesty. You know, they marry the women in good intentions, I'm sure, in almost all cases, hoping that they won't be gay. But, you know, they know something's different, they know something's off, but, you know, due to societal pressure, family pressure, religious pressure, you know, they make that stance, they find a woman, they fall in love with her, or they think it's love, or they think it will become love. They marry us, and they live a lie for many years, some of them for 20, 30, 40 years, deceiving their wives. And so we've had a lot of people come on here to discuss narcissism, the causes of it, you know, how people believe it, but it seems that many of us have husbands who are in that situation. So I know it's certainly not confined to women with gay husbands. Certainly, it's certainly much more international than that, but that's the boat that we're in. So maybe you could address that a little bit about what narcissism is, so we can have a really good definition and a little bit about you.
Yes. Sure. And it's really interesting that you poor ladies have, you know, been through that particular scenario with a narcissist. That, you know, and that is a very specialized area of narcissistic abuse, absolutely. You know, in my camp, and what goes on is, you know, often it's very much.
I'm sorry. Are you there, Mel? I know Melanie's been having a little bit of trouble with the phone connection tonight, and hopefully she's there. And one of the great things about Melanie is that she really teaches people how to focus on healing from being with a narcissist, and that's what we're really looking forward to, even though we don't have her connection right now. But when you're calling from Australia, you always are facing that obstacle of getting people cut off the radio. So we'll wait for a moment, and I know that Melanie will be calling back. You know, in her little things that I wrote about Melanie is that her healing and self-development processes are just not about breaking free from a narcissist. They're also about evolving every area of your life to a far greater reality than it's ever been in and before you were narcissistically abused. And Melanie looks at narcissism as an abuse, and I think we're getting Melanie back now. Are you back with us, Mel?
Can you hear me, Bonnie?
I'm sorry.
Can you hear me, Bonnie?
I hear you perfectly fine. Go right ahead.
Yes, I know what happens. Sometimes Blog Talk can do that. It does it with me as well on my show. Okay. So, yeah, what I was saying was, look, that's difficult what you're going through. And I'll start off a little bit about me, and then I'd definitely love to cover off some of the consistencies with narcissists. So, well, my situation wasn't a heterosexual relationship. I've actually had two, and I was in a significant one, which was a marriage, which was 2001 to 2005, and at the time, like so many people, I had no idea that it was narcissistic or he was a narcissist, and in fact, I just thought I was caught up in some awful, surreal nightmare. It was like this terrible bad movie, and things were happening that I thought could never ever happen to me, and I couldn't imagine that actually it could ever have happened to me before it did, because I thought I was intelligent and I was capable, and I know a lot of people feel like that. And but however, my narcissistic abuse experience, it led to the most excruciating time of my life, and because I did believe that he was my soulmate and my one and only, and you get married for life. But yet he was physically, mentally and emotionally and financially abusing me horrendously. So I ended up less than 6 stone. I had a complete psychotic breakdown, and I was minute-to-minute suicidal, and I was stalked, threatened, and every part of my life was being torn apart by him with a horrendous vengeance. Yet I was horrifically addicted to him, Bonnie, and I really thought that I could turn it around and I could change him back to the man that I'd originally married. And And I kept going back, and then I'd have to escape again, and then I kept going back, and that went on about a dozen or so more times. And I saw a lot of therapists, and I saw a lot of healers, and because I really was struggling to function and cope. And I even saw a top personality disorder specialist, and I discovered that he had narcissistic personality disorder. I actually stumbled on that. A lot of therapists didn't even tell me. I just had this thought pop into my head, and I Googled, and then I went, oh, my goodness, I'm ticking every box here. How am I around a narcissistic personality or a personality specialist? And she told me that there was no hope for change. And she said the relationship was going to take me all the way to my demise. I remember one day she actually told me that there were three options, that he would either kill me, I would kill him, or I'd be institutionalized. That's what she told me my options were if I stayed in there. But even though I knew that logically, cognitively, I couldn't let go. I was so addicted and I'd lost everything. My life was disintegrating. And the pain of my life was so unbearable, and there was really no relenting was really helping me. I got beyond being able to function. And the inevitable happened to me in 2005. I had a complete psychotic breakdown. And at the time of this breakdown episode, I was told that I would need 3 antipsychotics and complete rest in order not to be institutionalized and in order to function. And I was told at the time by psychology and medical experts that I would only ever be able to manage my symptoms of complicated traumatic stress disorder. I had adrenal malfunction so badly that I would sweat and I would shake and I would surge with adrenaline. My hair was falling out in clumps. And life absolutely could not go on as normal. When I had that
Melanie,
diagnosis.
Could I interrupt you a few questions? Could I ask you a few questions?
Yeah,
right here?
Sure. Yeah.
Okay. Could you talk a little bit about before this relationship? What kind of family background did you come from? Was there a dysfunction in the family when you were growing up at all?
Well, absolutely not.
Okay.
Okay.
So you came from a pretty stable family.
Oh, no, I've been absolutely not. It wasn't functional. It was very functional in that my parents were really, they were very good, honest people, very hardworking, very, very practical, and they had my back in every practical sense, but our emotional communication was really null and void. I was absolutely brought up under the premise that my belief that I took on was hard love, it was criticism, it was overachieving, and I really believed that I was only worthy for what I could produce. And that is a big, big hook that can get us into narcissistic relationships, because nothing we need to do is good enough.
And prior to this narcissistic relationship you were in, were you married prior to that?
No, I only got married at 35. I'd had a son. I'd had absolutely painful, disappointing relationships that were not sustainable, but they hadn't hit the level of narcissist at that point, and this was the first narcissist that I experienced. So, yes, my patterns absolutely had been playing out unconsciously and generating disappointing love, and this was the big bad wolf. This was the billboard lesson to know that I had to heal at a deeper level. Because I wasn't going to survive if I didn't.
Right. And I only mention that because I always tell women that these guys who are narcissists know how to find us. That it's not an accident that they pick us. Do you agree with that?
Absolutely. 100%. 100%. I heard that straight from the horse's mouth. When I used to have some narcissists in narcissistic injury come forward for healing, my healing process. And I mistakenly back then, really, I was pretty confident. I thought, well, you know, if they're in humility, I can heal them. And, of course, that window didn't last for long. But I would ask some questions, and I really investigated, and I was getting some honest truth while they were in humility and the ego was out of the way. They absolutely know how to target. And what they do is they test boundaries and give them a bit of a push to see who they can get in with. And they keep going if they can, and if they can't, and people lay boundaries, they might sneer and crack it, but they'll stop trying. They can't get in, and they won't.
And narcissists can be very charming and very deceptive. Am I right in that, saying that?
Oh, yes, they definitely, definitely are. And narcissists are very highly intuitive as well. They're very, very good at feeling into you and working out your weaknesses, your insecurities, which can be played on, and also your on switch. So what are they going to say to you that is going to get you to enmesh with them quickly? And a lot of narcissists will also be able to mimic really quite powerfully, and they tend to either, a lot of them learn body language or buy books on it because they want to know how to manipulate people, but NLP courses. But what they can do is get you at ease and get you mimicking. They'll mimic you and you mimic them back, and then you start enmeshing. But they know the gaps. But you have to have gaps for them to be able to play on them.
But I think everybody who is getting into this type of relationship has some kind of gap, so it's kind of easy for them to hone in on what they are. Because someone who's really secure in herself is normally not going to be swayed in by someone like this. They're going to be able to see through that person, where we, who are always looking to cure everybody, you know, we're the ultimate, you know, caretakers, and we can fix it up. You know, we're always looking to fix when something's not fixable. So, you know, on our end, we're not looking at those gaps. We're looking at how we can fix this man and make him love us.
Absolutely, definitely. I totally agree. And the consistent thing with everyone I know who has been honest about how they met the narcissist, every single one of us had gut feelings that something's not right, or we had some warning signs, or we had some red flags. And if we're not really solid in our authentic self and we're not able to show up authentically or speak up or question or inquire or lay boundaries, what will happen is we'll often talk ourselves out of our gut feelings, and we don't trust them, and we don't speak up, and we don't inquire, and we don't lay boundaries, and we push it to the side and carry on. But every time we do that, we pay an enormous price.
We're giving up who we are, and that's really what it comes down to. You know, you lose who you are in these relationships, and you become somebody totally different. You know, I know that I certainly did. You know, I was a strong woman going into my marriage to my narcissistic husband. You know, I came from a position of strength, not weakness, and I thought that I could be strong. I had no idea what I was up against, none at all. And they can really outsmart you, right?
Takes it to a whole another level. It really does. You know, like prior to narcissistic abuse, absolutely, like all of us, I'd had, you know, painful relationships and even heartbreak. But there's nothing like this level that happens. And what I really, really believe is the narcissist is like a huge, big reflector that shines back and hones in on our deepest, most unconscious vulnerabilities, rips them up to the surface and pounds them with missiles. And sadly, what happens is if we're still unconscious and we don't realize that, then we assign the narcissist as our parent to help our helplessness and our powerlessness that's all been activated and compounded by the narcissist. We really believe that the narcissist is the source and our savior, rather than, you know, realizing that the savior is our own development and our own self inner reprogramming and healing.
Right. I always tell women, you have to realize that you can't change the narcissist. He can beat you down, but you have to work on changing yourself. If you can't change yourself, how do you expect to change him? Now, there is no chance of changing a man who's a narcissist. There's no treatment for it. They don't think they're wrong to start with, and they're not looking to make positive changes. So can you just give a little more of a definition for our women, you know, who may be new to this, what your version of what you feel a narcissist is, how to recognize one?
Okay. Absolutely. Well, first of all, I'll give them my version. My version, a narcissist is a pathological self. It's a false self. And it is somebody that has had enough injury or unhealthy programming that they've decided that their true self, their authentic self, is ineffective or is too vulnerable and susceptible to damage to allow it to be their life. So what happens is a true self and a false self takes over. So this is a fictitious character that is actually highly insecure, very entitled, and it needs constant bolstering. And the false self can't retain energy. It can't hold its own good feelings and its own generation of a healthy life. So what it needs to do is feed. It needs to constantly be getting attention, acclaim, or even notoriety. Any attention, good or bad, it reinforces the false self and allows it to know it exists. And that's why with a narcissist, you can never win. You know, and then what's happening is, unfortunately, the inner child, the inner being of the narcissist, which has been terminally disowned and divorced, is screaming in agony because nobody's going near. The narcissist isn't going there to heal it and help it and evolve it and develop it. So the narcissist on an inner level is incredibly damaged, incredibly insecure, incredibly self-loathing. And these parts will get projected onto the nearest and dearest. The person outside of themselves, it's the kicking the cat syndrome, that when the narcissist gets a shocking internal feeling, rather than actually having the brain wiring and the consciousness and the evolution to say, there's something inside me I need to heal, it will always be that person outside of me is the cause of this, is the blame of this. And the brain wiring, is so stuck on egoic reaction, which is unconsciousness, which is I am not the generative source of my experience, everybody else is to blame, that the narcissist actually believes it. Literally, the brain will come up with an excuse and a justification as to why that was your fault, rather than take any personal responsibility. So you're dealing with a force that has run amok. Narcissism is, I call it quasi-life. It's not life-enhancing, it's life-destroying and life-taking, because this false self is like this insatiable black hole that has got to suck energy from outside itself in order to exist. So narcissists destroy everything in their wake, and we can't fix them, we can't change them. I did a radio show last year, which was profound, and it was about she left it too late to leave. And it was a very beautiful friend of mine, a friend of hers, who was the woman that hung in there and stayed there for decades of marriage. And she ended up terminally ill in palliative care while he ran off and had affairs and shoved them under her nose. And she was dying and in my friend's arms. So, you know, she had a wake-up call. It was too, you know, that's what I'm really, really passionate about, because I promise you that when you do the development on your own gaps that are making you susceptible to this, that's when you transcend beyond this, and that's when the narcissist actually becomes nothing other than the gift that did give you finally back to yourself. They're not our saviors, we are.
Melanie, I just wanted to ask your opinion. With a narcissist, is it nature or nurture? What do you feel?
Both.
Are people born like this?
Absolutely,
or do they develop like this?
Absolutely both. I love Bruce Lipton's model on epigenetics, and I love where science is taking us into. And, you know, that's the science I work very, very deeply with my healing. What I totally believe is we do not just get the genetic disposition of eye color or hair color or aesthetics. We also inherit our emotional belief system genetics from our ancestors. And that's been proven now in science. So, and it's really quite fascinating because if you get a child that's conceived by, let's say, two volatile parents, and then what happens is, well, genetically already the child has taken on the genetics that the parents brought to the table in conception. In ancient societies, what used to happen with beautiful wisdom is that before mating and consummating, a man and a woman would go off and clean up their emotional states before they brought that to the conception table, because they knew that's what they were creating with the child. So genetically, we're behind the eight ball, or a narcissist is behind the eight ball already. And we all know that in certain parents, we can have narcissists and we can have codependents. We can have people that are fixing to stay safe, and then we've got people that are creating a false self to stay safe. But whatever happened is we've got trauma in the genetics. The child starts developing as a fetus with trauma. Then what we have is the mother's trauma is being passed through the brain-blood barrier as the baby is developing as a fetus in her womb. And then the back of the brain starts growing bigger and is more geared up than what a child's brain normally would be in a healthy environment. So what we've got survival programs, we've got defenses. And the child, of course, is born into a hostile environment armed with survival programs and defenses when he hits the ground. It's both.
So if you had somebody who was genetically predisposed, but they grew up in a loving, caring, compassionate family, there's a good chance that may not happen.
Well, that generally won't match, because if you've got two parents that are capable of a loving, gentle, nurturing family, well, then they're not going to be likely to carry the genetics.
I thought maybe it came from the generation before. Well, I didn't know how far it goes.
It can, and look, I think the truth is, whether it's nature or nurture, and when we're born into environments, you know, there can be some intervention. You know, there could be an intervention. Let's say, for example, a good example would be came from awful predisposition. That's a great example, and then ends up with loving, caring parents, which from a law of attraction point of view is not actually very likely. But if it did happen, generally, whatever our predisposition is exactly what we're going to attract as our birth parents, because the soul evolution. But if that was to switch and change, look, most definitely, absolutely, because what they're learning now in epigenetics, and this is so important for our healing, no matter what we've been through, no matter the states of ourselves and our peptide addictions and our traumas, no matter what that is, if we change the environment, we actually change the state of our being. Now, the thing is, we cannot change an environment. We can't change other people in situations. We've got no power there. The only environment we can change is our own perception, which means our own consciousness. And generally, we do that as an adult, because children just don't have the tools. We didn't have the tools when we were children or teenagers to be able to do the self-work at that level to evolve our consciousness. So generally, children keep playing out the same pattern, and as codependents, you know, we've got an ability to heal this. Narcissism, to me, is when people cross the line where they have no conscience, when the means justify the ends. In other words, I will do anything, no matter what the destruction is around me, because I have to. That's what I'm going to do for myself. Once that line is crossed, we've got NPD. And the people that are capable of conscienceless acts in everyday life have got they've got a false self takeover, because a true self being present won't allow somebody to do that. Everybody can have an odd moment where they're triggered horrendously and conscience goes out the window. I'm talking about everyday acts, which an NPD does. They've lost their conscience, they've stepped over the line, and they are not going to come back to a consciousness restructure. They're not going to come back. They've crossed the line.
Fact that it's called an NPD within itself, the fact that it is a personality disorder, you know, should say it all, that when you have a personality disorder, that's exactly what it is, that you're not going to change it. You can either learn to cope with it, live around it, be miserable with it, but the best way is to certainly move away from it, because the worst thing is to stay with it, right?
You have to just
recognize you're with a broken man who's not going to change, so you need to be the one to change. You know, I also tell our women, Melanie, that when you leave a relationship that's destructive, whether it's from narcissism or from any other kind of abusive situation, if you do not fix yourself, you will repeat your own history. It may not be with the same kind of problem, but it will be with a problem. Do you believe that so?
Absolutely, Bonnie. Oh, I 100% agree with that. And I think there's really two versions of what people will do. They're either going to repeat their history. And generally what happens is the message gets more and more extreme, because our soul is really striving to evolve us. And our shadows, what our shadows do is what they do is they activate the outside environment to bring us the evidence of whatever we're not facing, so that the unconscious can become conscious and we heal. So the message you intensify. Or the other thing we do is we lock ourselves away, we shut the doors and pull down the shutters, and we hide underneath or behind chairs because it's just too terrifying to be in life. We're too scared to be. And we just diminish and we die.
That is very true. So after your horrible experience, you know, I know that you did a lot of work, but you found a way that you could heal, correct?
Yeah, I did. And, you know, I'm just so blessed every day for that because, well, first I wouldn't be alive, or I'd be a complete institutionalized medicated zombie. And I certainly wouldn't have had the absolute joy of being able to help thousands of people worldwide. So, yeah, and it was a really quite amazing thing because I was the perpetual victim up to this. I was very stuck in victim, and if anybody had said, you know, have a good look at yourself, I would have ripped their head off, because as far as I was concerned, it was all him and he was all wrong and I was as righteous as anybody out there. And then all of that culminated. I mean, I really was taking myself there in my intense victimization and staying hooked to him. I ended up having that psychotic blowout. And then when I was told that I would need 3 antipsychotics, I knew enough about myself that I thought, I'm never going to come back from that. But I was checkmated. They told me there was no other option. And then an incredible thing happened. I went home that night and I was very spiritual. And I collapsed on my bathroom floor and I put my hands up to God and I said, I just completely surrendered because I was defeated. Everything in my outside world was destroyed and ripped to pieces. Family had run for the hills. I really had no support left. Everybody lost faith in me. And I had nowhere else to go. And I don't think I did it to be saved. There was just nothing else to do. So when I surrendered, an incredible awakening happened in that split second. And I'll never forget it as long as I live. And it was like my head parted, and it was like everything that I used to think about being a victim was sucked out of me, and it was replaced with the truth with a big capital T. And it was an instant download. I just knew tons of information immediately, and I knew that this had nothing to do with him and what he was doing. It was to do with what I needed to heal in order to evolve and truly live the life I was meant to. And I realized that all of my false beliefs and internalized and trapped fear and pain that I'd carried my whole life and since my childhood and stuff I'd been born with, absolutely, was the reason why I'd drawn him into my life. And he was in my life to finally make all the unconscious pieces conscious, because he was like exactly me everything that was insecure and wounded about me. So that was an incredible awakening. I still didn't have the tools at that stage, but I knew what I had to do. I was able to create no contact. I talked the medical profession out of giving me antipsychotics, which in itself was a miracle. I should have been carted off and institutionalized. I don't know how I got out of that. And then what I did is I started an intense, yeah, it was so meant to be, an intense journey that was a complete drug-free recovery. And I was in a horrific state, physically, mentally, emotionally. Within 6 weeks, I was able to have complicated post-traumatic stress disorder under control. And then it all led one thing to the next, to the next. And as they say all the time, it's so true that when the study, the teacher appears, the synchronicities and things that came into my life were nothing short of miraculous. And I knew I was on a journey. I knew I was on a path. I didn't know where it was going to take me. But I was determined to not just survive this, because it was unthinkable. I had symptoms. It was still a battle. It was still horrible. All the stuff that all of you people that have got narcissistic abuse symptoms know. I was still living that every day. And I was determined that there had to be a way to thrive. And I knew from my awakening that if I found the keys, I would be better and more expanded and radiant and joyous in life than I'd ever been even before this happened to me, which is everything the abusers don't tell you. They tell you that for the rest of your life, which is rubbish. So I strove on, and it ended up me discovering subconscious healing systems, which were amazing. And then I became a subconscious energy healer myself with Theta Healing and with other modalities. And I checked out and worked with a lot of them. And then eventually what happened is I was able to channel through me a process called Quantum Freedom Healing, which is 3 subconscious healing modalities put into one. And the reason that happened is my last remaining piece of my healing was agoraphobia. When I was in safe places, I was feeling expanded. I wasn't thinking about the narcissist. I was even really joyous and happy and feeling love in my life and all sorts of things. But if I was out in public places, I was still really struggling with agoraphobia, the meltdowns, the fear of what could happen, the fear of being unsafe. And I was over that. I was about 2 years on, and I was like, I don't want this. So because I knew so much about quantum science and physics, and I'd studied so much about subconscious healing modalities, I knew that if I could find the causation wounds in my subconscious, release them, up-level them, and replace them with the source energy truth on those topics of those wounds, I knew agoraphobia could be instantly gone. So I was in Thailand, which was pretty symbolic because I got there with intense agoraphobia, and I don't even know how I did that. So I was in my hotel room shored up. I didn't want to go out into main streets. So I couldn't. And I sat there one day and I went, now I set the intention, I'm going to find the answer. I channeled as if I was taking dictation, and I opened my heart, my mind, and it was like I always knew it. When it came through, it was like, I know this. I put it into practice on myself, the first ever Quantum Freedom healing session. 2 hours later, I was out on the main streets in Koh Samui playing in life. Tourists and locals like I had never connected and played in my entire life. And it was then I was like, wow, what just happened? And then I thought, maybe this is a fluke, maybe it's going to come back, but it never did. And then I came back to Australia. I was already working with clients with narcissistic abuse, with theta healing and kinesiology, and I ditched that and took them straight to the Quantum Freedom healing sessions, and they were having the same result, miraculous, powerful, instant breaks. So from there, within 3 months, I had 7 to 8 clients a day. Word of mouth exploded. Psychologists were telling people. It just became ridiculous. I was the only practitioner, and I knew I had to create a healing system where people didn't need me to be one-on-one with them. So that started the Cystic Abuse Recovery Program. Now there are tens of thousands of members on that program all over the world that also converge in my private forum, and they have thrivers helping them. And, you know, finally we have a system that really does work for abuse recovery. So that's the story.
Well, that is really interesting. So, of course, you know, that's the beginning of the story. So now tell us more.
Wow, now the story, well, the story and the conversation just got so much bigger, you know. And look, for me personally, this journey has been amazing. And I discovered within me, you know, that certainly wasn't the end of my personal journey. I discovered in this total self-partnering, self-dedication path that I walk with self first, because I know that's a generative source of my entire life and experience and how I treat other people, that my self-first journey, I realized how many faulty, painful, damaged, insecure beliefs I had about myself and life and others that were causing this incredible disconnection from myself and from others and from life. So for me, narcissistic abuse isn't really the topic. It's the vehicle. It's the wake-up call. For me, the topic is raising our consciousness and coming home to ourselves so that we can be a model of heaven on earth, which is a light that dissolves all darkness, so that we can be authentic, extended, radiant, loving, genuine, truthful with ourselves and with others, to generate love and wholesome relationships, and know that no longer are we too scared to show up as authentic. I know for myself that I used to hide. I used to tell people what they wanted to hear. I was terrified of rocking the boat. I was really terrified of being abandoned or criticized or rejected. Those were my really, really big wounds, and so many more, that I couldn't be me radiantly extended in the world as that person I was hiding. And I know it's the same for so many of us.
Mm-hmm. So from there, knowing that you wanted to change your life, you developed the system of doing so, correct?
Yes, yeah, absolutely. And the system, you know, fundamentally at the beginning was for myself. And then what was so cool about it was that I'd already written two books, which I self-published, and I connected up to a lot of people and written articles and realized what a pandemic narcissistic abuse really is. And what I was so excited about was I trained coaching. It was originally just with people, the free tools, and I was healing as they were healing. You know, it was very much the wounded healer being the healer, absolutely, which is fine. That's the best healers on the planet. You know, we're healing other stuff, that people stuff that's our stuff. And what I was finding that was coaching was giving comfort, but it wasn't giving shifts. It wasn't creating real powerful change. So no matter what people were finding about narcissists or even about their own patterns and their own childhoods, you know, unless we could really get in with energetic tools, and once that started happening with theta healing and kinesiology, I saw big changes in people, but there was still a little gap. It still wasn't quite enough. And then when quantum freedom healing came along, I realized that any of my previous coaching clients that insisted on talking rather than healing, that they were staying stuck, and the quantum freedom healing clients were 3 to 4 sessions on were 300% healthier than what my coaching clients were after talking. So I ended up dumping it. I let it go, because in all conscience, I couldn't continue on doing something that I knew was just managing and supporting, but wasn't truly creating through healing.
Mm-hmm.
So it's become a very, very big community. You know, my community now is 35,000 people. There's thousands of people in there that are NARC members. There's an amazing private forum, which is an art forum. And what's really gorgeous about the community is it's set up under a code of conduct, which is a very simple code of conduct, but it's incredibly powerful and effective because it gets everybody in their body really claiming their power and or their powerlessness, and being able to identify what's going on in their body and ask for solution rather than staying in victimized, powerless victimization, which is simply handing power over and cementing peptide addictions that keep people traumatized. So it's been very, very powerful and very, very effective. And I'm continually blown away by the evolution, the wisdom, the awareness and the power that goes on in the forum to help people really find their causation wounds that have led them unconsciously into abusive lives to be able to up-level to something so much greater than they never had access to even before this happened. And it's exciting. I really love my life, and I really adore being able to be part of the movement of raising consciousness. It's absolutely everything my heart and my soul could have ever desired is to be doing what I'm doing.
Melanie, can you give our listeners like a little clue or a hint of where you would even get started with something like this?
Well, I'm a little bit biased in that I really believe that the sooner we do radical responsibility, the sooner we're going to be able to work with something that can help. I would totally, look, first of all, absolutely, you need to understand what a narcissist is, okay? Because you just do. But then as soon as you do, put it down, okay? You know, this person can't be changed. They're a pattern of a doer is going to fix it. So you know that. What you need to do then is put that aside and say, okay, what is it within me that has unconsciously generated this connection and this abuse in my life? Because otherwise you're only trying to deal with symptoms and you're not healing the cause. And that never works.
Mm-hmm.
That would be my absolute recommendation. And by all means, come to my website. And, you know, there's so many free resources as well as, obviously, you know, the big program that's made such a difference worldwide, which is the Narcissistic Abuse Recovery Program. But there's just a ton of resources there where you can get connected and you can get subscribed and you can really, you know, the truth really starts setting us free. It really does.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, even though you're far away, people can still buy your program, right?
Oh, absolutely.
And have access to your program?
Absolutely, absolutely. And there are even people, you know, that are English-speaking languages are the second language. There's many, many people in Europe that are on the program and throughout Asia as well. So, and most definitely, the community is a central hub, which is the Narcissistic Abuse Recovery Forum, the private forum. And there are people in there from over 50 different countries. And the beautiful thing is, wherever you are in the world, you've got people there anytime you need them.
Now, to get to Melanie's website, it's not too tough. You just go to MelanieTanyaEvans.com, and that's how I get there. I don't know if there's any other way to get there, Melanie. But on your website, first of all, that's probably the best way.
Yeah,
you know, on Melanie's website, you'll see the first thing that will catch your eye is the beautiful picture of Melanie, because she's just as beautiful as she sounds, for sure, and we'll give you information all about Melanie, who's living in Melbourne. where a number of our women live, Melanie. That's how I think I originally heard about you. And tell us about your story and your mission on helping to heal people. And it is a process, of course. And when you have about the healing resources, Melanie has a program for narcissistic abuse recovery, empowered self course, and transforming family of origin wounds course. And could we just talk a few minutes about each of these and the differences?
Sure, I'd love to. The first step is absolutely the Narcissistic Abuse Recovery Program. That program, if you have had painful, disappointing, or abusive relationships, well then, and it doesn't matter whether the, you know, you're a psychopath or I have Asperger's, it doesn't matter. Okay, disappointing, painful, abusive relationships, that program is the first starting point, and that can be any relationship, family, boss, even your child. It doesn't have to be just the intimate partner. So that's step number one. And then from there, what I do say to people that if you know that you had a lot of abusive or neglectful or emotionally absent parents in your childhood programming, I really do suggest, and it's a bit of a mini program, it's very, very powerful, originally of Origin Transforming Wounds program, because that just really helps with laser-like intensity to find those family of origin wounds and target them and up-level them. And then the Empowered Self course is more of an expansion. Once we've really got past the abuse and the family of origin stuff, this is really about manifesting your goals and being able to find any of the blocks that have been holding you back from going forward into, you know, dating and creating love and being able to pursue your life mission and up-level your careers and, you know, have the confidence to really be yourself expanded in the world. That's what Empowered Self is about.
As far as, are these things all interconnected? In other words, you know, first you have to recover from the narcissist. And also, if you have wounds that come from your family, if you're trying to heal, you know, become empowered and get yourself healed. And I think that many of us, or most of us, do have those kinds of wounds that we have from our families going, you know, in our past. And then empowering yourself. I mean, I see that they're in this particular order listed on your website, but is there one that you would suggest, you know, to start with?
Absolutely, the Narcissistic Abuse Recovery Program. If you've got any fear or pain in regard to any relationships in your life, well, then that's got to be the first step, because we need to be fear and pain clear and free to be able to move forward. I have a saying, you can't drive a Ferrari into a garage and park it on top of a rusted old brick. You've got to clean the rusted old brick out first.
And what I like so much about you, you know, one of the things that you state, you know, and it's so true, is that we look at ourselves as being survivors, which is not too far past victims as far as I'm concerned. But like you say, you don't want to be just a survivor. You want to be a thriver. You want more out of your life than just surviving a bad relationship. You want to move on so that you can thrive and be in a positive relationship and be confident when you get into that relationship. And I think that's
absolutely
why, right?
Oh, gosh, I am so passionate about that. So passionate. I want to just, why do we, okay, that's better than not surviving, but just, and there's two ways we can go through experiences in our life. We can go through it, or we can grow through it. And I am just such a huge believer in evolution and our soul's spiritual purpose. Everything in our life is happening for the highest purpose, to deliver us to the highest, best most glorious expression of ourselves. There are no mistakes. Stay a victim or just going to survive. We think, well, you know, all of that was a really big fat mistake and it was awful and now I'm diminished and now I've just got to try and get through life the best I can. You know, I'm sorry, but that just wasn't good enough for me. And that wasn't going to allow me to live believing that. It wouldn't have been good enough. You know, and I've just seen it in my own life and I've seen it so many times that every single breakdown is our signal and our impetus to an enormous breakthrough beyond where we were before we even had the breakdown. And narcissistic abuse is one of the most mass breakdowns we could ever have in our life that is heralding an incredible breakthrough if we anchor in, if we have the tools, if we have the process, if we have the way. And if we're really determined to say, I want to live a spectacular life. I want to be the happiest, most empowered, expanded, beautiful human being I can possibly be. What else are we here to do, really?
And I think that's really important, that part of any kind of healing I have found in my life is finding a purpose. Because if you don't have a purpose, then you are just existing. You are just surviving. And it's about feeling you have a better purpose in life than what you're presently living. And I think that so many of us, we do go through such horrible experiences. And when you're at the hands of someone who is so emotionally abusive to you, and you totally lose who you are, just trying to find your way back home too. And I tell women, it's not even a matter of finding who you were, it's finding who you never were. Because a lot of women never even had a chance to develop themselves when they're coming from homes where there was abuse, such as emotional abuse from a parent, narcissism. A lot of our women have parents who were narcissists, and they became the caretakers in their family. So they never even got to develop. So they have to not find themselves. They have to now first learn who they are and who they can be. So do you feel like this would be a really good place for them to start?
Absolutely, definitely. And the thing is, you know, with women, what has really happened is that we've all been programmed to not be powerful and not be extended and not to know ourselves. Women were traditionally, you know, look how our world has evolved so quickly into relationships of equality. And in our generation, the generation before us, women were the caretakers and they stoked the fires and they kept the home going. You know, that was their role, was to caretake. And we've got the generation after us, which is people that are equals. And, I mean, I see my son and his girlfriend, they're equals. They are total equals. We're the mess in the middle. We've been really, really stuck in this fast-track evolution and we didn't know who we were. Which model were we? Were we the new model? Were we the old model? We were stuck in the middle of these models. And everything has exploded around that, and we've really come to a point in our own evolution where we can't just sit back and exist anymore. We've really got to get up to speed. We've really got to transform our subconscious in order to be able to, you know, we're running out of time to catch up and to evolve and also to be a part of this new generation and this new wave of equality and wholesomeness and true relatedness and true mutuality. That relationship needs to be if our planet and our societal structures are actually going to survive. We've all got to wake up. We've all got to grow up. We've all got to heal.
Okay, so let's just go through this again, Melanie. When you go to your website, you can find about your healing program and the services. You also can find your books that are here. I mean, people have plenty of access to, you know, finding many wonderful resources for themselves. And as you were saying, a healing is from a narcissist, a sociopath, a psychopath, antisocial disorder, borderline personality, from any of these issues, that this is so relevant. And when you're living in a life with someone who's living a false life, that affects every single one of the women who are part of our network. So What's so beautiful about this website is that you can, first of all, find some resources from Melanie as far as her, you know, she has YouTube videos, she's on Twitter, she's on Facebook, you know, she has lots of books, she has programs. And from what I've heard from people who are following you, Melanie, and working, doing the work, that their lives have drastically changed for the better. And everybody's looking to heal. I mean, that's what all of us are about. We're about healing. So hopefully people will take advantage of the fact that you have ways and methods and resources that can really help them on their journey. And that's why I'm so excited that you're here with us. And maybe, you know, you'll give us a few months and then, you know, give us some time to have people buy and read and start healing. And then maybe you could come back again. And we can talk a little bit about success. And that would be really wonderful.
I'd love to talk to these. And I'd love to talk to these people. And, you know, the people in your community that do get connected, I'm sure I'll be connecting with you personally and finding out more about you because of the NARP forum. And there's so many beautiful, gorgeous, you know, senior thrivers in there that are just very orientated in this healing process that can just, there's a literal army of angels over here in this forum based in Australia that's global that, you know, will really stand with you and under you and for you and help you every step of the way. So we'd love to have you.
Thank you so much. And like I say, we'll be promoting you with our women and asking you to come back with us during the summer so we can talk about some of the progress some of our women are making through your healing system. And I just want to thank you so much for sharing your beautiful words, your beautiful story, and most of all, for giving women hope. Because a lot of us, you know, are hopeless because we don't think we can recover. We don't think that there's something better for us out there. And you know why, Melanie? Because a lot of women really don't feel they deserve anything better. They've been so beaten down by guys who have just pushed them down to the ground. They have no sense of who they are anymore. And they need something concrete. And even though we have the best support network I could ever ask for with our women, they need something more hands-on on a daily basis. And this would be a wonderful way to do it. Just listening to you, I'm feeling healed for the night. I feel really good now. I'm getting a lot of energy just listening to you, Melanie.
I love that. I love that. That's how energy works. And I just really want to say to all of you out there, I really want you to know this from the bottom of my heart. No matter how old you are and no matter what you've lost and no matter how broken you feel and how hopeless it feels, I promise you there is hope and there is a way. And I know that if I could do it from where I was and where I've seen dozens of the cases of people that have been alive, people that have lost everything, people that have had failed suicide attempts, you know, the most horrendous stories. And I've seen those people now become glowing, happy, functional, successful people in their lives. I promise you there is a way and there is hope. And I, you know, really hope that I can be the bridge that helps you connect with that.
Well, with that, I'm going to thank you so much for joining our show tonight. I want to send love to all of our women and wish you a wonderful week. And Melanie, I'll be so excited when you come back again.
Thank
you so much for
taking
the
time
and spending it with us. All right, and I'll be in touch with you very soon. And thank you so much, Melanie.
Thank you, Bonnie. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Good night to all our listeners.